the book of Daniel just for a few moments this morning. And as we start today, I want to say this now. I see in your bulletin, if you notice it, Maggie has requested nursery workers. I think you're a member of the church in good standing with the church. You know, qualify that. They probably could use some help back there if you're a lady and want to help out. I just happened to notice that. And I know how hard that is sometimes. Having pastored 18 years myself, it's sometimes hard to get a nursery worker. So, but if you're of a compassionate heart, love children, and can help out, you're a lady, a member of the church in good standing, why don't you talk to them back there and help out a little bit there? So I know Brother Chad does the announcements, and I'll leave the rest of them to him. But I think nursery work, and they'll need that right after the Sunday school. Daniel chapter 2, we talked last time about visions and related to the vision that he had as an impossibility, and how much of a struggle it is if you're facing an impossibility in your life. That the key verse in the book of Daniel chapter 2 was, well, let me get it to you, because if I say it wrong, it will be wrong. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And the verse there, the first part of the, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. If you'll keep that in mind, no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, and here this king found himself, he had a dream that he couldn't know the answer to, and he knew it was an important thing, and he wanted his people, his astrologers, soothsayers, and all the people that he had on his staff to, number one, tell him what he dreamed. That's pretty slick. And then get the interpretation thereof. So we talked about why dreams and why visions. And I don't think I said, I may have it somewhere here, probably worthy of our note, and I wanted to give that to you, the difference between a dream and a vision. You say, well, they're the same, brother, they're the same. Be careful with that. The word dream has a definition, and it's not the same as a vision. Hence, two words, one meaning this, one meaning that. But we seem to, in our simplicities, lump stuff like that all together. Oh, yeah. And it's not the same. So I thought it was interesting, and we talked about last time, I didn't give the definition, but I probably should, and I will before I go further. We'll be in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, 18, and 19. But let me say this about the dreams and the visions. Today, people don't receive a vision from God because we have the completed word of God. God's not speaking. You say, could he? Well, I'm sure he could do anything he wants to if you believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm not. But as a rule, he's not speaking to mankind audibly. He's not giving them a vision like he did Peter when he let down the sheet, and Peter was in a trance on a roof in the daytime. See what I'm saying? It just does not happening like that today. You say, why? The best reason that I know, we live in the church age. We have the completed word of God. Number one, you'll have to, number one, believe we have a Bible. And it'll be the folks that don't believe, well, I don't know, I think God's going to speak to me extra biblical. And, you know, I'm going to have a vision here or something. Or they'll call it a dream. And he's going to give me extra biblical revelation. No, not so. Don't happen. Don't line up with the word of God for the day and age that we live. So if you got somebody, oh, yeah, man, I had a revelation. I just dreamed another dream. I mean, I had a vision. Watch out. Watch out. You're headed for trouble. Because that book's truth. Not what somebody thought they saw. Be careful with that. You say, well, where's the verse? Peter said this in the book of 1 Peter. We have now a more sure word of prophecy. And he was a master on dreams and visions because he was translated with the Lord, the Bible says, on the Mount of Transfiguration. That was Peter standing there when the Lord revealed to him Moses and Elijah. And yet he says in the end of his days, writing the word of God, we now have a more sure word of prophecy. He had lived through the calling of the Lord as a fisherman. He had lived through the call to salvation, the call to preach the word of God. He had lived through the crucifixion at the cross, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in the end of his days, he knew we had something more sure than the Mount of Transfiguration or a vision or a dream or a trance on a roof. Amen. So we got to keep that straight. Now, the difference between dreams and visions, dreams occur in the transition stage between loss of awakening consciousness and sound sleep. Between the two, there is a state of sleeping consciousness during which we may dream but never know it. They call that REM sleep. The dreams that we have and remember occur when we are waking or not quite asleep yet, trying to come to. I'm still in that stage this morning a little bit. Now, visions occur, contrasting to dreams, visions occur in our wakeful moments, i.e. Peter on the roof when he had hungered and he was waiting for them to prepare. It was daytime and he was up on a roof praying. And the Bible calls that a trance. Now, listen what our dictionary says. Now, visions occur in our wakeful moments when our mind is absorbed on some thought. So we are unconscious as to what is going on about us. That can happen in the middle of the day. Visions are an ocular, I don't know if I say that right, O-C-U-L-A-R, ocular phenomenon, and are seen when the eyelids are closed. The vision appears, if you please, on the insides of the eyelid and is sufficiently luminous to be seen by the eye, and if the eyelid is not moved, the vision will remain indefinitely and can be studied in detail. Say, I didn't know there was such a difference. There is. You can have some awful dreams. You know, eating pizza at night, I guess. I don't know. Most of my dreams don't make much sense anyway, you know. I won't go into that, but I'm either drowning, I wake up, and the covers are wrapped around my neck, and I go, oh, somebody's strangling me or something. We work a lot of high work, or did. I did for years, worked a lot of high work. When I say high, I'm talking 30 stories, 6 stories, 20 stories, outside that building on a swing stage scaffold hanging off of two cables about the size of your little finger. And the way you run up and down the wall on that big aluminum platform is a drill. And that drill's hooked into a mechanism and a motor, and you got a lot hanging, no pun intended, on those two little motors. And your buddy over there 60 foot away, if he don't pull the trigger when you do, you put the thing in a bind and shear the pin. That's no fun, 20 stories up in the air. So that's all you had to worry about? No. If the wind kicks up while you're up there and blows you away from the wall 20 foot, you're just hanging on cables and slams you back into that window, you know it's time to get down. Nobody has to tell you twice. Say, so what? Well, I don't think a lot of people ever get over that, because I'd do the job once at work, then come home, go to sleep, and I'd fall out of bed thinking I was falling off a 20-story building. And I'd be dreaming stuff. And man, it is work on you, man. So that subconscious is something else. So don't get your visions and dreams mixed up. Let's go on Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, and we'll talk a little bit more here about what's going on in chapter 2. And he says this. Now, let's see, what is today? This is the 25th, and I'm thinking out loud here. I want to tell you this. It may be announced. It may be in the book. I don't know. But we've got a revival coming with Brother Stroh, and we apologize. But we have a revival to start ourselves up in Franklin, Ohio, at Riverview Baptist Church. So I'll be up there that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, 4 days, in a tent. We're going to preach a tent meeting for the Fairview Baptist Church and draw some pictures up there each night and preach. So we're going to miss Brother Mike Stroh, but we're going to be there. So pray for us if you see us out. That's where we're at. And will I be out the next week? Yes, I'll be out next Sunday. Okay, enough said. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. That's kind of where they were at. Once the thing was revealed, they prayed, and things begin to be revealed. This is united prayer. They got together to pray with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And people say, well, we've seen Daniel go to God in prayer before, but not exactly like this. I believe there's power in prayer. When you get together praying, there's more power in prayer. So just thinking about that, if you remember the last point that I said last week, I said, man, the secret of that thing is he prayed, and God answered. God answered. And it's good to know you prayed and God answered. So when I look at this, it is sure that if Daniel would have failed in his conquest to pray, and remember who he is, he's the prophet to prophesy of the Gentile rules to come, and the church is Gentile. With that in mind, the church would have missed that great revelation that was locked up in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You say, well, what does a dream have to do with the church? Everything. It has to do with what's going on in world powers at the end time when the church is getting ready to be raptured out. You know, that's all there. Yeah, Daniel is about the Gentile ruling power in the last days. And you say, well, wow, I didn't know the church was affected at all. It most certainly is. And if he would have not been in fellowship with God, praying to God, God wouldn't have revealed to him what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, because God didn't tell him what the dream meant. He told him what the dream was and then interpreted it for him. Now that's a God. Now there, though the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he had psychics working for him, sorcerers and astrologers and more psychics. And a tarot card reader, say, does it say all that? No, but you get the drift. Those were the wise men in those days, and they couldn't do it. So here, he was able to receive the revelation that was locked up in that dream and its interpretation, the prophetic and historical outline. And this is what it outlined, the times of the Gentiles. And since the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, the fall of Israel, and that's where they was at, Israel's in captivity, and the rise of the Gentile power, which is Nebuchadnezzar, the first one, about 600-something B.C., 603 B.C. is about when the Gentile took over world powers, and it's been in world power ever since. No Jewish nation ever ruled anything since that time. Amen. The Jewish nation will become a nation again in 1948. Well, that's within our lifespan just about. So here, verse 19, we simply read, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And the Bible's clear. You say, why didn't it say a night dream? Because Daniel's going to receive a vision from the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And it's called either one. So God's dealing with this Gentile king, but he's answering through Daniel. You say, well, why did God have to give him a vision? Because Daniel didn't have the New Testament. Daniel didn't have the book of Revelations. Daniel might have had a piece of the book of Jeremiah. I don't know. They both wrote at the same time. He knew Jeremiah. They prophesied in the same times. They were living in the same time period. But if anything, he might have had an older book. He might have had some Psalms. He might not have had anything. Not like us today. We have the completed word of God. So when he says the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then that's, I want to emphasize that, the first thing Daniel did was not to rush off to the king. Let me remind you, in the early book of Daniel, in the early chapters, he's only 16 years old. He was of the royal seed, and that's why he of the Jewish empire. That's why he's there, because the Nebuchadnezzar Gentile king wanted those supposedly wise men, young men, that he could train in their ways to hopefully help him out. So he's a young man making better decisions than most 16-year-olds do today. But to bless the name of God, look at verse 20. He gets the, God reveals it to him, and he in verse 19 and verse 20, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. God ever do anything for you? Maybe simpler than, and you know, we're not having dreams and visions, but you know God has done something for you. You've read the Bible and it just blessed your heart. And you were praying about this or praying about, and that thing came through, and you know it came through, and you know God did it. What's the first thing you did? The first thing you better do is thank God. That's exactly what he did. That pattern is sown throughout the Word of God. Any of the people of God, any of the men of God, any of the people that God uses in the Word of God, when God blesses them, and this is not an exception, they give praise to God immediately. They don't run out there and say, hey, look at me, man, I figured it out. No, you didn't figure it out. So be careful and learn a lesson. A valuable lesson God does for you. You've prayed about this situation or that situation, and God comes through. You need to take a moment and give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen. That's just a simple Christian life principle that we need to learn and understand and do. And, you know, it's we sing the songs. Brother Jerry leads these songs. And we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. There's a lot of truth in what that song's saying, because there's not one of us that's lived this week without a blessing of God on our life. And we give God the glory and the praise. I get up in the morning, and if I'm aching and hurting like I usually am, I say, at least I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. I'll give it another whirl here. This is a good thought. We find it right in verse 20, and then even down through verse 23. And he changed, he says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He gave God the glory because he didn't have that kind of wisdom, but God does. And the book of James, I don't have it written down here, says to us, a promise to us, if any man lack wisdom, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him come and ask of God. God can give you in wisdom in all things. And so often we don't take advantage of the promises God gives us. And I think the reason we don't take advantage of the promises God gives us, we don't want to meet the condition on the promise. Oh, what condition? Well, like being all you can be for God. Amen. Amen. Like being sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, I got stuff going on, brother. You just don't understand. You know, if that's more important to you than being sold out to God, don't look for the promises to be answered in your life. Oh, Brother Phil, are you sure? I'm positive. You've got to put my nose once around. Every time I drive to Milan, I cough, I hack. I don't know if I'm just getting old or if you're mold off all that corn you guys grow over here or whatever that. I'm coughing. And I get up here. I don't know if they clean the carpets. It can't be the dust in the carpet. I'm still breathing. I know what it is. I tore the carpet out of my bedroom yesterday. It was more dirt under that carpet than I've ever seen in my life. That's why I'm sick today. James 5, brother. Sorry, let's go on. Ain't you glad God answers prayer? Amen. And he has 100,000 times. And we give him the praise. Amen. So he praised God. And last time I said he prayed. And as soon as he prayed and God delivered the answer, he began to praise God and thank God. And so often we're so, we want to be on the receiving end of the answered prayer, but then we forget to thank God for it. Or it's quickly, soon after, we forget that God even did it. And there'll be things God does in your life. You could praise him for the rest of your life. Amen. So here, wisdom and might which are his. He said, that's God. And he changes the times and the seasons. This was an important thing. The second thought down there by verse 21, 22, 23. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. So Daniel, he got a revelation superior to just a simple understanding of that prayer or what it was and what it is. He says here, he learned some more things. He removeth kings, he setteth up kings, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now, let me stop right there and come current to current events today, because it's Gentile power that rules the world. We're a Gentile nation, can't help it. Now, if you're saved, you're a nation within a nation. All saved people that save have something in common. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. Now, I'm not talking about religious folks. I'm talking about saved folks. And every saved person on the face of the earth today, whether they're a pygmy in New Guinea, whether they're somebody in Africa, whether they're in New Zealand, Alaska, Mexico, or America, if you're saved by the grace of God, you become a nation of God's people that nobody recognizes down here. Amen. And when the Lord calls, that nation's coming out of this nation and is going to leave this Gentile nation a little shaky. A lot of good people going when the Lord calls. So you're a nation within a nation. That's why the times and the seasons and the things are important here. He's the guy that's going to interpret that vision and how it affects world leadership. Right on down to the end time until the stone made without hands smashes the feet on the image. So I wanted to say this. Don't worry about the election coming up. If who you want doesn't get in and she's there, it's okay. Because we have a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And if you belong to God, I don't care what idiot they put in office, you're going to be okay. You say, why? Because you serve a greater king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care who gets in the office. Ain't none of them. I better quit right there, brother. I can see I'm in trouble. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to come back quickly. So what's my options? Vote for Hillary. It's bound to rush things into a dilemma, and the whole world is coming to an end. I apologize. I'm not supposed to say anything at all about politics in the pulpit. Listen. I'll tell you something. Daniel did. Jeremiah did. Isaiah the prophet did. We're surrounded by, can I use this word as simply as I can? Idiots. And if you're saved, they think you're an idiot. Amen. So don't worry about it. God, Daniel said right here, the Gentile powers that are to come, and America happens to be one of those Gentile powers that are in rule. I'll show her to you on the mark of the... I will draw that image one of these days here in the next few lessons. I know you can't see it, but I do have it here. I've already drawn it out. Got a gold head, a silver chest. He's got a brass girdle. He's got an iron legs, and he's got iron and clay for toes. And we'll explain that and how it represents all the nations that shall rule in the last days. So this is very important to what's going on here. You say, well, I want to know who's going to win the election. I just told you, it don't matter. Now do the best you can. Vote for the best person you think could do the job. I'm not saying not to do that. That's your privilege and your priority. It's your privilege to do that. So, and guess what? I don't care who you vote for. Because God's in charge. I'm good with that. So he praised God for this. And the Lord revealed a number of things to him down there in verse 20 through 23 about the last time. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I know we just all had a fit when Bill Clinton became president. But we're still here. Amen. and or any of the other presidents. Go back to Nixon. He signed my discharge papers, my honorable discharge. So I didn't care for him, amen. But so he revealeth the deep and secret things. God's able to do that. There's nothing deep, nothing secret that anybody in the government or any place else in a Gentile power is going to supersede the knowledge of God, or if you please, the people of God. So we learn that. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. That him is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing. Verse 23, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matters. So the king was in a very unique situation. He's the first Gentile power to rule in the known world of that day, and he's the guy. It used to be David, Solomon. It's over. It's over. You say, well, why is it over? Same reason. Genesis chapter 3. Sin. On top of sin, on top of sin, and not obeying God. And God's going to let some heathen get... Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. Till he comes back and straightens this thing out. So here, while to Daniel alone, the revelation was made, he did not take all the credit. Look at verse 24. He says, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He was the henchman for the king. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And when you get to looking at that thing, Daniel's coming down through there, and he steps in because he has the wisdom now that God gave him to save these guys. You say, why would you want to save those guys? False prophets and soothsayers and witches and warlocks. I'll say all that, but it implies all that. Well, let me quote you a verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Daniel had the heart and the mind of God. Sometimes we don't. Let me get my hands on them. I'll wring their neck there. I'll tell you what, let me go to government. I'll clean that whole mess out. You know, me and a Gatling gun, we'll fix. No, God just lets it go. Why would God just to let things go? If you please, to prove a point. He's sovereign. He's the ruler. He's the supreme judge. And one of these days, we'll see that all unfold. That's what the book of Daniel's about. I don't know why God lets people kill all them babies. Well, this world is not my home, the songwriter said. We ought to feel the same way. We're just passing through. Amen. Here I'm looking at the scripture. It says, to Daniel, verse 24, Daniel's first request was destroy not the wise men of Babylon. They were saved because there was a man of God among them. Now that saved is not salvation like you know today, but they were spared death. I got to watch the clock. I'm about out of time. Just like Paul was on the ship in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 through 24, he didn't necessarily want to go where that ship was going, and he was in chains, and a storm came up, 14 days, 14 nights, something like that. But the Lord stood by him that night and said, look, if you stay on the ship, everybody stays on the ship, they'll be saved. Now, he didn't say the ship wasn't going to blow apart. He didn't say the storm was going to stop. He said, that's the only way, that's the only hope you got. You know the best thing I learned? Just obey God. Amen. And so the wicked are blessed for the righteous sake. And they were there for Paul that day, and they were there that day for Daniel. If you're a saved person here today and you run a business, own a business, work for somebody in a business, and you're a saved person, a saved lady, a saved man, you're a blessing to that lost crowd, whether you know it or not. Your testimony is a blessing to that business. That business is privileged to have you on board. You see, I didn't know that. They sure don't treat me like that. I'm telling you what, if you speak up for the Lord, take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a blessing to that lost crowd out there. Amen. And maybe because of you, they don't go under. Get a hold of that for a minute. That's how it here was with Daniel. They didn't kill him because of him, all the king's wise men got to live. Because the king was going to kill them. So they were saved. Saved from dying that day. That happens throughout the Word of God. Potiphar's house, remember Potiphar? Well, he's the king down there, was in Egypt blessed because of Joseph's sake. Why, God will wipe that mess out. But Joseph was sold into Egypt, and because Joseph was there and he was a man of God and a man after God's own heart, and God, and he's the greatest type of Christ in the Word of God, God blessed the Pharaoh. Oh, how about that? And the Lord would have spared Sodom. Remember, for 10 righteous. You remember when Abraham's making a deal, trying to make a deal with God? If there's 10 righteous, would you spare it? And God said, I'll spare it. But there weren't 10 righteous. So the lost world, people you work around, you're a blessing to them, and they might not even know it. You might be the reason God don't judge them. Oh, Brother Phil, are you sure? I'm just giving you Bible here. The world today has been spared for the righteous sake. You want to know why I think God blesses America today? Now, I ain't going to give this out of the Word of God, but they started out as a Christian nation because all the Christians that are in America yet today, I think God spares that wrath that's going to be dumped out on this nation one of these days. And I think we're seeing the preludes to a judging God in our nation as we slide away from God. Now, that's what Daniel's about. These Gentile powers that are in power that think they're so great, so powerful. And, you know, after all, we got a F-22 Raptor. I mean, that thing can slip in under. I mean, it's stealth. It can slip in under the clouds and nobody can see it. I mean, it's secret. Let me remind you, we have a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. So don't put your confidence in the military power. Don't put your confidence in the stock market. Don't put your confidence in some lame excuse from some politician that don't know how to do anything but lie. Amen, bro. I don't know how I got on all that. Put your confidence in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be better off for it. You'll feel better. And besides that, if they come in and nuke us all, don't threaten me with heaven ought to be your attitude, because you're out of here. I'm done. See, that's when you don't preach and you about half teach and you about half, you can just quit anytime. Now, I had a story last time. I got to mark this. I don't have a story this morning, but I would say last week I said, pray, 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 pray. Give you the illustration about the African missionary who prayed and told you only y'all, you know. This week I'd say, praise, 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 because we got a God in heaven. Amen. And you can find something to praise God about. My, who knows? Somebody might even praise the Lord because we got a pastor for 17 years. Huh? Find something. Bring it, put the big old box back there, cards. I put my card in there. I got him a whole subscription for a whole year to his favorite magazine. Is that still your favorite magazine, Tom? Brother Tom, when we were like kids, Mad Magazine used to. I thought it was Alfred E. Newman. He introduced, not only did he show me how to play the guitar, he introduced me to Alfred E. Newman. All right, we're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I'm glad we're saved. I'm glad we know the Lord. I'm glad we can laugh and have big time around thee. And when it's time to be serious, we're serious. Brother, we want to weep with them that weep, and we want to laugh at those that laugh. We want to rejoice with those that rejoice. So this morning, Lord, help us to mind thee. Save sinners, encourage the church, bless the pastors he preaches, the song leaders he leads, the singing, all the special music and the offerings and all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.